Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Echan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are live listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. And today's date is Thursday, July the 26th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And, of course, a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman can best be described as moderate and fair, as temperatures hit a high of 89 degrees today, but was largely tempered by a 14-mile-per-hour breeze coming out of the west-northwest as nighttime fell. Temperatures fell fairly nicely, with sunset temperatures resting around 80 degrees, but with a refreshing breeze of 11 miles per hour, and that refreshing breeze has continued on through the evening. In fact, here I've got my window open because it's late, not so much street noise at this time of the morning, and sometimes you can feel that waft of breeze come through, and it's very refreshing. But other than that, it's comfortable. I mean, we're sitting about 71 degrees, which is just 1 degree shy of the ultimate low we should see at around 6 o'clock in the morning, or 70 degrees. Mother Nature is going to be putting on quite a show tomorrow. That would be Friday the 27th. Tomorrow night, as we will witness the longest full lunar eclipse of the 21st century. It's also referred to as a glowing red blood moon. The total eclipse will last for approximately 1 hour and 43 minutes. That's the full eclipse. While the full entire spectacle from partial to complete and penumbra and all that's going to be 3 hours and 55 minutes. Now, lunar eclipse, of course, takes place when the sun, earth, and moon are directly aligned. The moon's orbit brings it directly into the earth's shadow. This one is going to last kind of long because the moon is at what is called apogee, which is the farthest point from Earth. So this moon, again, will result in a very long, cycle here. So it's going to take more time, I guess, for the moon to pass through the Earth's umbra, or the dark shadow part, the darkest shadow. Now, here in Amman, we are expected to have, let me take a drink of water, guys. Or tea. You know, I've been recovering from a kind of a coldish flu symptom this week, which has made it kind of difficult. I was down and out, not totally down and out, but kind of down and out for about a day and a half, starting Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday all day, Wednesday, yesterday, I was a little bit better. Can't say entirely because I'm still feeling the effects of it. And as I try to talk on the microphone here, it's actually kind of a challenge here. But anyways, we'll get through the show. Don't worry, everybody. Anyways, going back to that nice lunar eclipse here, it's expected again to last close to an hour and 43 minutes. That's the total cycle of the full eclipse. And that's going to begin at 10:30 in the evening local time. And that will end at 12:13 in the morning on Saturday, while the partial lunar eclipse will last for close to 4 hours, and it will begin at 9:24 in the evening. Now, while I most likely will not go out and sit out and watch the entire event, there is definitely the expectation that I will take some time to bask in this new cosmic energy and do a little reflecting and musing, because it should be kind of cool. Symbolically speaking, July's full moon, full blood moon, it should say, signifies a time of change, according to the astrologists out there, which primarily results in a deep yearning for something more, as well as a cognitive dissonance about the state of the planet and what's really going on. And I was trying to break through the cognitive dissonance out there. Now, to those of you who are paying attention, this is apparent in real life. The astrologists like to say, every day it seems new scandals are highlighted, and those responsible are called out by those in the media and public participants, and the anger that is erupting is a side effect of the corruption which has permeated global societies for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Now, in order for change to occur, the dust or the secrets which have been swept under the figurative rug must be uncovered. It is normal for revelations to lead to passion, but some people are choosing to be swept away by their anger rather than confront the root cause of many of mankind's ails. What is being realized around this full moon is that another shift in consciousness is occurring, and that's coming from the astrologists out there. And of course, that's kind of why you listen Inside the Eye Live, I guess, is to break through some of that dust and try to clear things up a little bit. Let's see, chat room. Chat room's open. I'm actually there. Let me kind of pop over there for a second. Chat room. Where's my chat room? There's my chat. No, that's the YouTube. Chat room, live chat. Okay, I see Blau Ocean Detox the Kool-Aid guys. Not a whole lot of you there, but good morning. Good afternoon, George. I see you there. And Equicentric is there. White Devil 1970, you're somebody new. So welcome to Inside the Eye Live's primetime slot here. You know, I'm wondering, because a lot of people have been complaining about the quality of the voice. You know, it's like going up and down, up and down. I've been hearing a lot of complaints about that lately. I'm beginning to think it's in my microphone. I got to clean this microphone or something. It seems like it's getting a little corrupted there. I don't know for a fact, but I'm kind of noticing it too as I monitor the voice here. So unless I'm like not dead on, straight on, it's just not picking it up so clearly. So I got to be very careful how I actually talk into this microphone. Otherwise, I'm having a little bit of trouble keeping the volume correct. And so I hear you guys. I've been hearing a lot of the problems out there with that. I just want to add that we are live streaming on YouTube. Again, the live stream is up. It's going. It's strong. And you can catch us at Inside the Eye Live. So with YouTube.com /C, I believe, / Inside the Eye Live. So we do have a branded page, Inside the Eye Live. YouTube was kind enough to give that to us. So we do have the YouTube live stream going now. I am also there. I'm trying to monitor all these things at once, from the back end to the front end and everything else out there. So the live stream is up and running. I see that there. Not a whole lot of people are there right now, but I do see that some people are there watching as we speak now. And again, welcome to all of you there equally. So good afternoon. I can't be chatting all the time while I'm talking. So guys, it's a little hard. So just bear with me again. So check out the live stream. It's we'd love to see it grow, but you know, it is what it is, right? Let's see. Excuse me. Facebook is in the news. One of our favorite social media companies, Facebook, took a beating today. They lost something like $110 billion in market cap today. That is a huge, huge number, to say the least. And it is basically dwarfing. What is this? Some of the others out there. Let me see if I can find that story here. Here it is. Facebook market cap losses. Facebook, $119 billion in market cap loss today. Intel was the second largest, going back September 22nd, 2000. It lost $90.7 billion. After that was Microsoft on April 3rd, 2000 at $80.024 billion. Apple was January 24, 2013, $59.6 billion. General Electric had lost $46.9 billion going back in 2008. Alphabet, which is Google, $41 billion. So this is a huge hit. $119 billion is a huge, huge number. Of course, it's an economic buzz right now, at least on the internet and the technology sector. Facebook's chief executive officer and chairman lost $16 billion on paper today. Again, that is as of noon, but it's going to be about that, I guess. By noon Thursday, Facebook's huge loss in the stock market had shrunk somewhat to around $97 billion, but it ended up closing again at $119 billion. The loss, as CBS News contributor Nicholas Thompson said, put it larger than the entire size of McDonald's. It's hard to believe that Facebook, which is nothing more than an intelligence gathering tool for the state of Israel, actually has a market capitalization way higher than even McDonald's. The dollar value decline in Facebook's market value today is roughly equivalent to the entire value of some of the country's most well-known companies. That would include General Electric, Texas Instruments, and Union Pacific Railroad. So this is a major market cap. The stock drop comes after Facebook announced its second quarter revenue missed Wall Street and analyst expectations by around $130 million, and growth in a number of active users is slowing down, which is fairness to me. It wasn't all that big a deal, but Wall Street takes these things very seriously. Revenue growth projections were something like $16.2 billion. They came in at around $16 billion, so they missed it by $130 million. But in the world of finance, these are very serious issues when you miss your projections. And, of course, there are numerous factors that have gone into this decline. But Facebook remains a massive company by market capitalization. It is still the fifth largest market cap company out there. Entertainment Weekly reported recently that Facebook executives were promoting their video on demand service as one of their growth strategies. And it ended up getting into this very combative exchange between the reporters, the fake news, and Facebook, the purveyor of more fake news. And really, the exchange came down to the reporters talking to Facebook executive, what was her name? It was a gal, Fiji Simo. I assume she's maybe Japanese. And they basically were saying, look, the fake media say, why are you allowing companies like InfoWars to be on your service? And Ms. Fiji Simo, who is Facebook's vice president of video, was asked again about this. And she says, to be totally transparent, she says, I find InfoWars to be absolutely atrocious. Well, okay, Ms. Simo, but we have the job of balancing freedom of expression and safety. So the way we navigate that is there's a pretty big difference between what is allowed on Facebook and what gets distribution, what we're trying to do is make it so that if you're saying something that's untrue on Facebook, which you're allowed to say as long as you're an authentic person and you adhere to community standards, but we're trying to make it so it doesn't get that much distribution. In other words, basically what Facebook is admitting to is censorship. Say Facebook is getting into the publishing business. Facebook is saying we will determine what content is viewed, what content is seen. And of course, Facebook users aren't seeing the metrics. You know, you've got not a lot, but there's reports out there of websites that used to get Facebook-driven referral business, 9.7 million hits per month. That's down to 1.7 million hits, even less than a million. So you're talking about a 900% decline. Something like that, what, 100%, 2, 3, 400%? I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a huge decline. It's like 10% of the original value of reach by Facebook. So what's happening here is that Facebook is cutting its own nose here, because when you think about social media, we, the contributors, are the content. We drive the market, not the platform itself. The platform is just a way for us to contribute content so that we can be seen. Facebook is just providing the platform, but that's not enough for Facebook, being a Jewish company and also being subject to a lot of Jewish pressure out there to monitor and censor and make sure that people are, whatever safe is. I don't know what safe means out there, quite frankly. You have the right in today's world to, my goodness, mute and block anything you want. I don't know why you need a corporation to be blocking things for you. I got a story about that on Twitter later today. But nonetheless, folks, they're admitting to all this blocking. And there's like people that are like pro-Trump people, right? And they say, you know, I have a small live podcast I do, not a podcast, but a video log. And I'm out there and I've got 1,300 people that'll log in and follow this thing. And Facebook's blocking that. Well, how are you going to make money if you're blocking everything? Here's what I recommend you do if you're a Facebook user. And I have to use it as part of a campaign. It does send referrals to me, so I can't just cut it off just unilaterally. And we shouldn't just abandon platforms anyways. But you should make it as difficult as possible for these companies to make money on you. You go into your settings and you go into the advertising. You block every ounce of advertising based on your interests. You don't allow Facebook any access to your interests. You can do that. You go in and you block everything. When you get an ad pop up onto your timeline, folks, report it as being abusive and offensive. It doesn't even matter if you like the product. And I get a lot of good advertising come my way. But I report everything, every single ad, every single recommendation that Facebook sends to me, I report it as being offensive and inappropriate on my timeline. But I always use the offensive because that's what Jews like to use. That's offensive. So what I do is everything, every single bit where I see Facebook is making money, I report it as being offensive because you don't have a right into my timeline if you're going to be censoring what I can see. If you want access to me and my eyeballs, you drop the censorship. You drop the ability to constantly tell me what I can and can't think. Don't think you're going to be an advertiser working with Facebook and get free rein to my eyeballs while you're supporting an operation that's censoring my ability to get a message out or to receive messages towards me. If you're advertised on this type of platform, just deny them the eyeballs. Hit them where it counts. Do what you can do, but you don't allow Zuckerberg to make money off of you. Report these things. Offensive, offensive, offensive. Just get rid of these ads. I don't even see too many ads anymore, and I don't care because I want Facebook's revenue to continue to decline. I want advertisers to know that if you continue to support this advertiser-driven model where Facebook decides for me what I can and can't see, then you are going to not have a very successful campaign on Facebook. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of great companies out there with some great products that are trying to reach you, and I don't care. I report it. I simply don't want Facebook making money. It's reported. I just don't care. You know, the main thing I was here as I was going through the story here is like this lady saying that, you know, we don't always get it right. It's very complicated. She's talking about what we're trying to do again is make something, you know, if you're an authentic person, you can say something, but we're going to make sure you don't get distributed. Well, screw you then. Seriously, to Facebook, screw you. You know what? I don't think this is going to be a death knell for Facebook. 21%, you know, all these other major companies from Intel, Microsoft, Apple, Exxon, they've all recovered, quite frankly, quite nicely over the long haul. But in the social media world where the content is us, where we are the product, we have every ability to sabotage this thing the best we can while our other platforms get built. And yes, we should be working other platforms to lessen the reliance upon things like Jewish-owned Facebook. Facebook, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, and I tweeted out to the president today, and I said, look, something to the effect that if these companies want to use taxpayer-funded and developed internet protocol, that is our technology that we Americans funded and developed and paid for through our military / secret systems of the 1960s and 70s, if they want to use our taxpayer-funded internet protocol, then we should definitely have a stake in how content goes out over that. And we should not allow companies to profit using our taxpayer-funded technology, working on our telecommunications information grids. And then they tell us what we can think. There is zero reason why we should allow these companies that have created a monopoly utility status to declare open political war on we, the people of the United States, and that includes Europe and elsewhere. But remember here, in Europe, it's far worse. In Europe, you have so many Jewish organizations working to clamp down on any type of open dissent. I saw something very interesting this week. Said, you know what? In America, the far right is busy right now working overtime to expose the pedophilia and the crimes of Hollywood. And I was talking to Zapopper. He's our distributor here, one of our distributors. And he said, I was saying, you know, we were on this in 2007, dude. You know, people like the Celtic Rebel who was, he was all over that. The Jewish angle, we were all over this. We were all over this stuff 2005, 2006, 2007. And now it's everywhere. I said, dude, we were way ahead of our times. He says, yeah, I didn't like this guy or that guy, but yeah, it's true. You know, we were all over this. And nowadays, everything is being called the far right. So the far right in America is fighting Hollywood pedophilia and working overtime to expose it. I think you saw this guy, James Gunn. He was, I don't even know. I don't follow Hollywood, but this guy just got fired. The left has gone bizarre over this pedophilia guy, pederast guy. Other things are coming out now. People are literally the Chan networks. These are like our intelligence service, and these kids that are behind this, I'll tell you what, they seem to be really, really, really good. I'm impressed personally with some of the stuff I see coming out of there. And I do follow some of this stuff because you got to kind of let it get the dark information too. But the 4chan people, but these people are being called by the Jewish media, the far right. Well, what's with that? You know, the far right in Greece, you know what they're doing right now? It's the far right that's putting out all these forest fires and all these brush fires. It's the far right doing that. In Germany, it's the far right and other countries that are working to stop the immigrant flows into Europe. In Britain, it's the far right that is fighting overtime for free speech. It sounds to me like the far right is far okay to me. It's the far right that is actually doing what is right. That's because I guess we are far right. We are far into doing what is right. But the Jewish people, of course, they want to talk to us as how we're all anti-Semites for being so far right. I'm not sure what's going on with all that stuff. Anyways, relative to Facebook, folks, we have a long ways to go before taking out what is probably one of Israel's primary spying weapons for controlling political discourse within our Western nations. That includes the United States. But nonetheless, it is something that we must continue to focus on because it is absolutely critical that we do take out Facebook in some way or another, or we nationalize the platform. We do what we can to bring it under control of law, bring it under control to where everybody has a fair say in what's going on. And it's not just Facebook that's a big story. Twitter's a big story. There's been a lot of complaints now and documented proof that even the president of the United States is getting shadow banned by Twitter. I mean, Twitter, in one case, there was a Republican campaign in some state. I think it was, Ohio or somewhere in the mid-Atlantic, I believe. And a friend of one of the GOP candidates that was running had 50,000 followers and was helping to promote the campaign. And Twitter banned the account, blocked the account. Now, to me, that is an egregious imposition upon our political process. Folks, the Jewish media is private. They own it. Okay, we can't go to the Jew and say, hey, please print this story for us. Okay, please print it. But we do have the right to just say what we want. Now, places like Facebook and Twitter want to continue, quite frankly, if they want to continue to impose themselves on our political process, then it is in our interests and our rights to impose upon these companies conditions upon which they will not be allowed to do so. This should be part of every single platform of people you vote in, literally. You know, I've been accused this past week, everybody, and I'll take it just with a grain of salt and fairness. I've become a little bit too much extreme, you know, that basically, you know, we've talked about a lot of the critical issues here. And one of the issues, of course, is weaponized economics, the housing bubble. It's gotten to the point now where people can no longer buy. It's getting cheaper to rent. And of course, that's fine, except for the fact that there's no more ability for people to to own their own property anymore. This has been predicted for quite some time. You know, you have all of this debt-based economy that we have. All of this debt is always packaged, recollateralized, and then sold off as derivatives. And the derivatives in the hundreds of trillions of dollars, and we've never printed up that much money. So essentially, you've taken all the good money out of the economy. You've stuffed it with all this bad money. So basically, Jewish banks have stolen the wealth of America. They've stolen it. And all these loans have eventually gone bad. They can never hope to recover it all. And of course, they're trying to get their way out of it. But everybody feels, not everybody, but there's this sense on the street that at some point it's going to crack. And when it does crack, you may have like a Great Depression again. Remember, Americans, we lost 3.5 or so million people to starvation. 3.5 million people to starvation during the Great Depression. Nobody talks about this great tragedy to the American people. They just talk about the food lines, but nobody talks about the starvation here. Folks, that's kind of what people are saying the Jewish people are trying to do to America now. They know they've stolen the money. The money's gone. It's now a Ponzi scheme of derivatives and derivatives. And they're trying to just basically create chaos through proxy, bring in the migrants, bring in the leftist radicals, bring in the transvestite LGBT agenda people, bring in all of these fringe elements that no decent American really cares about, put them as the front forward face of America and constantly create cultural terrorism against the American people. The American people are a good people. The American people are hardworking, honest, ethical people. I'm talking about the core American people. For the most part, those are your European Americans. But yeah, come on, guys. We got great core people in virtually every ethnic group. But within every group, you can find these radical elements. Let's not kid ourselves. But that's kind of the strategy here is they are looking to crash, literally crash, the American system. Not that they want to, they just, it's difficult for them to keep it going because they stole all the money already. And now it's just fiat dollar. And anyways, it's a big game out there, folks, to say the least. And I don't know, this Facebook thing is just part of it. And what I'm being told is, Fetch, we got to be able to buy some time to get some educated people and try to soft parachute this thing down, rather than allow it to turn into chaotic mess. And I'm being told, keep that in mind. So I've got your emails. I've got your messages. I've kind of molded over. We'll do what we can. All right, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware. Into a break. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. I just haven't been monitoring things. Inform, there is a massive echo. I don't have that massive echo. No echo on listen line. Okay, so the listen line is fine. We're trying to see where the audio might be bad. So if you guys can let me know if it's still bad on the live stream, it sounds good, like it might be on the radio side. Again, there's been an update to software and they're trying to fix the bugs, but apparently they haven't fixed all the bugs yet. And that's always very frustrating. I can't see any messages coming in. So guys, let me know if it's still clean or not clean. I can't see, because I can't tell. So guys, I'm waiting for the live stream chat. Anyways, guys, this is listener sponsored and supported radio. It does rely, wow, it's hot in here. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And of course, without your donations, it's very difficult to do the radio side for sure. And that's the main platform. So if the platform is appreciated by you, really do your best to help keep help keep everything clean. The radio side is fine, I'm being told. But yeah, just do what you can. Again, we have a fairly big audience still. We know that. So definitely get out there, support the network, support Inside the Eye Live, support revolution.radio. You can go to revolution.radio at revolution. You can go to revolution@revolution.radio, and that will get you, of course, some of the pages where you can donate, buy some of the swag or other things that might help you and help the network stay alive. So again, do what you can. The ITIL Cat Reports brought to you by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. And like to you say that if you have any IT projects and you're part of the movement here and you would like to get your website up and running a little bit more efficiently, then definitely give us a call. We will put you in touch with our IT director guy, and he does a lot of our back-end coding now to help things make things a little bit smoother. He doesn't do the video side. That's a separate issue, everybody, but the website is definitely under control. So definitely give us a call. We'll put you together again. You can get a lot of the various shows that you might like Inside the Eye Live, right there at grism.blogspot.com. And Zap does a great job. Nobody can deny that. I mean, the guy cleans up the audio. He cleans up what he can. Literally, he takes out the mistakes. He takes out even he takes out some of the delay or some of the, what do you call that, dead air in between us. People might talk. Some people just aren't really good at talking all the time, folks. So, you know, they have mistakes, but they just like have gaps before they say things. Zap will even go in and take that out. I mean, the guy works really hard. So definitely do what send Zap a cup of coffee over there at grism.blogspot.com. Every little bit's appreciated. Really, it's very appreciated. This week's ITEL Cat Report for Inside the Ally Primetime. Kind of quiet. Bruiser has been hanging around a lot lately, just been a lovable little guy. One Eye's been around all day. We've been having a lot of chicken for dinner, and it's kind of cute watching One Eye get up to the table, put his paws up on the table, and just kind of look at you like, okay, I'm here to eat too. And unfortunately, Bruiser's blind, so we got to like put things on the floor and tap the floor to let him know where the chicken is. But they've been enjoying themselves. I saw my little buddy the other day. Today, I hadn't seen him for a few days. He doesn't have a name. He's the new kitten that we believe is fathered by One Eye. But he was out there today. It's definitely a he. I got that down. So I still have to give him a name. But I gave him some of our chicken from dinner tonight, and he had a great time. Enjoyed the bones and the chicken that was left, because I don't clean my bones very well. And he went off and enjoyed everything. And I don't know where he's at now. One Eye went outside again. It's hot. You know, it is hot, but it's fresh if you go outside. But it's hot inside. You know, I'm up on the top of the building here, and everything else is below hillside, basically. You had to dig down the hill to build the rest of the building. So I'm the top on the street level, and it's kind of like an oven. You know, during the day, the walls get hot. The roof gets hot. There's no insulation. So you feel the heat coming from the hollow block well into the night. And if you don't pull in some of the cool air from outside, it's just kind of, it's hot. You know, it's warm. I don't say hot, but it's warm. So you end up running your fans a little bit, trying to get the cool air in. But unfortunately, due to the show, we shut a lot of the windows around here just to keep the air, the sound quiet, you know, locally. But it's been very quiet, very enjoyable. Cats have been pleasant. Not too much fighting going on. Bruiser's been like meowing at other cats, but that's Bruiser. But you know, been a nice time. It's been settling into a nice groove around the house for this vacation finally, the past 2 weeks. So I've really been enjoying myself. Anyways, that is the cat report. Not a lot to report, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So it's again, the ITEL cat report is brought to you by grism.blogspot.com, friends of grism.blogspot.com. And again, check out grism.blogspot.com at grism.blogspot.com, where you'll find this show and quite a few others. And just a reminder that Grism is the official archiver of Inside the Eye Live. Been doing it since 2012, to be honest with you. And so all the hard work to make the fetch sound good, that is coming directly from grism.blogspot.com.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews.
Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey.
Oy vey,
everybody.
Oy vey! The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, updated, expanded, and uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from Bosnia, Herzegovina. And what it was Bosnia is kind of like an old sleepy country, backwoods of Europe. And there was a case just the other week where somebody had put up some Juden, you know, put the word Juden and something like some swastikas on some walls. And, of course, Jewish people went crazy saying the perpetrators must be found. They must be caught. They must be punished. And they just kept going round and round and round about this event, making things out to be far bigger than they were. Bosnia has a population of only 1,000 Jews. Now, I'm not for driving people out if they've lived peacefully among each other for thousands of years, as you find in many parts of the world. But at the same time, we've seen a growing preponderance of Jewish activity that seeks to impose itself upon the rest of us. And for Jews to talk to everybody and say, hey, look, you got to go find the perpetrators. You got to find who's responsible and punish them and all that type of crap. Really, it just gets annoying after a while. I mean, this is a crybaby society. There was a Jewish guy on Twitter, and I was talking, communicating, interacting with this guy. And he basically says, you know, the international definition for Holocaust anti-Semitism, for anti-Semitism is, you know, you can't say that Jews in the UK are more loyal to Israel than to Britain. Well, the fact of the matter is that some Jews in all countries are more loyal. They're Zionists. They're spies. They're not working for the host nations. That's just a matter of fact. And for Jews to say we can't talk about this, go screw yourselves on that one, guys, because you're asking for way too much from us. You know, we have a right to criticize everybody we want to when Jews take tens of billions of our dollars and shift it offshore to Israel. It's not for Jews to tell us at this stage what we can and can't say, what we should and shouldn't do relative to the state of Israel. If Israelis don't like it and Jews don't like it, stop sending our money over to Israel. It's very simple. And until that condition stops, Jews should just back off and not tell us what we can and can't say. It needs to stop, quite frankly. You guys are imposing yourself on us. You are taking our tax dollars through nonprofits and shipping it offshore. And then you're taking our tax dollars directly and using it for foreign aid. Don't tell us as a people what we can and can't say about the state of Israel. Finish. I'm serious. Just finish with this whole attitude. You know, we're not interested in Jews in Bosnia telling us go find the perpetrators. Screw you guys. You know, there was a story just 4 years ago. I think it came out 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and it was at the time it was Israel's minister of foreign minister or something like this. I kind of closed the story, but I'll paraphrase it. And he said basically that if Europe doesn't take care of the Jews, Israel's going to take care of it themselves. And one of the last things he says is that if you don't take care of your Jews, then terrorism is going to become crawling on your shores, just like it's crawling on our shores. And then, you know what? That type of statement is nothing but an open-ended declared war by the Jewish state against Western Europe. They're saying if you don't do what we say, if you don't overly watch our small Jewish population because they manage these nations on behalf of Israel at the end of the day, then they're going to engineer some type of terror crisis inside of Europe. I'll tell you what, if I had a situation where they came to me and they said something like that, I'd call the ambassador in right now and say, explain yourself. Explain exactly what this means. And I want to get a clarification from the foreign state. I want to get a clarification from them. What did you mean by that? What do you mean that this is going to come to our shores? Are you threatening us? Is that what you just did? Because I'm taking that as a threat. And then I'm going to work extra to make sure that I can drive out those traitors that are Jewish. I don't care. You have to think about your nation state, not the state of Jews only. And that seems to be the case all across Europe right now, is Jews just want Jews to be the main focal center or the main focal point. This type of mentality has to stop. It absolutely makes zero sense that we continue along this path. It's counterproductive and it's absolutely destructive. For instance, I mentioned to a Jewish guy today on Twitter, and I said, look, you don't have a right to tell us to call out the traitors among the Jewish people. That's basically what I said. You don't have this right to tell us we can't call out those who we believe are serving Israel above our own interests. And this guy is from the UK, but I'm just putting it out there. And the guy says, oh, you're like the most anti-Semitic person I've ever seen. Have fun being reported. And then he sends the tweet to CST UK, some Jewish intellectual terrorist operation, I think. I don't know. I'm not British, but it looks like it's a Jewish It looks like it's a Jewish terrorist operation, mental, mind, intellectual, violent type thing. Like, you can't say what we want. You can't talk unless we Jews allow you to, type of organization. And he sends it to the Metro Police. I'm like, are you kidding me? You whining, pathetic little whining losers are taking a little tweet that says you have no right to tell us we can't call out the traitors among the Jewish people. Because if you're Jewish and you really do believe in your own country, you shouldn't have a problem with us calling out the traitors in the Jewish community. What's your problem? Really? And if I'm the police and I'm in the UK and a Jew complains to me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to arrest that Jew. I'm going to arrest him. I'm going to get fired, but I'm going to arrest him. And I'm going to say, you know what? There's an expulsion order and you're not even supposed to be here. Why are you making problems for us British people? I would just go arrest that guy and just like wait for the authorities, the senior management to fire me. But I'm going to make sure that gets publicity. Because to listen to Jews time in and time out tell us and dictate to us what we can and can't say, folks, we are not children. We are not inferior to the Jewish intellect. They don't have a frickin' intellect, okay? They aren't nearly as smart as you think they are. They are in positions of authority, but they screw up every time, and they don't want you to talk about it. How about, it's kind of a quirky Oy Vey moment, again, brought to you by, excuse me, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year. And you can catch it again on Eurofolk Radio. That's right, Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. And I think hopefully the echo's cleared out, everybody. I hope it's cleared. I've made some settings here. And I apologize, but it's really not. It's the software. What can I do? Let's see. Where was I? I was ranting. Something about the UK and getting called in. Oh, Trump. This is part of the Oy Vey moment, I guess. I'm just going to include it here. You know, Trump had problems this week with his lawyer, Cohen. This is something Cohen. And these guys are such sleaze, guys. And this is a cultural issue. To me, it's not. It's a cultural issue. It's not an individual issue. Somebody said to me today, Fetch, it's Zionists and not Jews. Oh, my God. Why do I keep hearing this crap from people? They agree with my points, by the way, but they don't agree with the fact that I say it's Jews and not Zionists. And I'm like, you know what? First of all, Jews have been thrown out of countries 359 times in the last 2,000 years. And that was before the word Jew or Zionist was ever created. So listen, you are free to continue to use the word Zionist if you like, but we're going to go ahead and exercise our freedom, and we're going to say Jews equally, and let's just continue to focus on the problem. Is that okay? And then just leave it at that. And if you don't like me, stop following me. Stop harassing me. Just go on and do your thing. I'm okay with that. But folks, let's stop with, oh, it's Zionists, it's Jews, it's who cares? These people are like slithering, I don't know what you call it, salamanders. You can never get your hands on them anyway, so it doesn't matter all that much. When they scream the most, you're doing the right thing. It's really that simple. The more Jews scream at you, the better off your whole position is, and you continue to use that set of words. And everyone has commented over time that Jews cannot stand to be called Jews by non-Jews. Call them anything you want, just don't call them a Jew. You call them a Jew and they freak out. That's an actually unfortunate reality. But Trump, you know, he had a problem with his lawyer. The lawyer is recording Trump. Literally, the lawyer is recording Trump. And, of course, that's like a faux pas. You don't record your clients. Then the lawyer has his office raided, and it's given to the FBI, comes in, steals all the tapes, and within one day, the tapes are leaked to CNN. What's with this? Seriously, what's with this? Who, you go in, you raid an attorney's office that's working for Trump, and then the tapes are stolen that you're not supposed to have, and within 24 hours, it's showing up on CNN's desk? What? See, I don't even care at this stage. I don't even care what's in those tapes. I want CNN and the FBI to be held responsible along with the attorney. Because at this stage, there's no privacy. There's no integrity. And there's, of course, there's nothing really in the tape at the end of the day. It's not a big deal. Who cares? This isn't my business. I don't elect leaders based on, I just don't want to see a bunch of pedophiles, of course, running around. And these psychopaths like the Hillary Clintons. And, of course, you know, Trump's got his dirt, I'm sure. But nonetheless, folks, I don't care. Well, I'm just kind of curious. How did it go from Cohen's office to this guy's, to the FBI, to CNN in 24 hours? It's like Cohen said, hey, I got the tapes. Come on and steal them, and then I'll call my buddy at CNN, and you guys can go and release the story. That's kind of what it felt like out there, quite frankly, today when I heard this story. What an insane cycle of events we hear out there. And then you've got Rod Rosenstein, and he's what's Rosenstein? He's like the deputy attorney general for the United States, some ridiculous thing like that. He's actually a Trump appointee, and he has been given subpoenas to produce a bunch of information, and he just simply refuses. And people were saying today on NBC or CNBC or one of these fake news outlets that said something to the effect that, hey, Trump appointed him. Trump is the boss. Why doesn't Trump just sit there and tell him what to do? Because he's the boss. If he doesn't like it, fire him, because he's a Trump appointee. And Trump's just kind of silent on it. It's like, well, to me, you're just talking about another Jew. I mean, come on. Rosenstein's another Jew. You can't trust the guy. And yet these are the people that we keep seeing in power. Everywhere we look, where we see corruption, where we see decay, where we see abuse of power, where we see problems with the government mistreating, well, that's abuse of power, I guess, isn't it? But mistreating the people, there's a Jew behind the wall. Why is that? And then these clowns and the anti-Semitism definition space of our societies here, they want to tell us we can't talk about that? Again, to those Jews who believe that, screw you. Seriously, screw you big time. Here we see the strategy in play. You guys know you're no good. You know you suck at what you do. You know you can't produce. You know you're more theft and thievery, theft and fraud than you are actually governors. And everything you turn to turns to crap. And here we want to do something about it, take our government, take our country back. And you want to create definitions that prevent us from even talking about the problem. Isn't that conveniently, you little Bolshevik communist scum? Quite frankly, you use your Facebooks and you use your Twitters and you use your Googles. I mean, my goodness, folks, I used to be all over Google. Seriously, I could find myself everywhere. Now, when I run even my name, I don't even show up. How in the hell can you not find me? There's only like one Dennis Fetcho out there. But you'll find me in all kinds of different places that I've done, but you won't find me on my own work. Really? Hundreds and hundreds of articles and literally 400, 500, 600 radio things that I've done over the years, and you can't even find me? Really? I mean, Google kind of finds me, but some of these other search engines, I'm not there. It's like, what's this? So, folks, it's very clear that there's some type of effort to keep information down. Some type. And of course, what do we see behind the door number four? Freaking more Jewish people. What is with these people? Can't they just deal with people ethically and honestly? I don't think they can, folks. I think there's something deep, sinister, and evil lurking in the shadows. And unfortunately, that's where our Jewish people are playing, in the shadows. They're not being clear. They're not being transparent. They're not being open. Anyways, that is the Oy Vey moment for today, Again, it's a new show every day of the year, sponsored by, actually, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new day of the year. And you can catch, again, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show every day. I don't even know why I think about that. Every day of the year on Eurofolk Radio, eurofolkradio.com. So be sure to check that out. The echo is fixed on YouTube. That is great to hear, everybody. So the YouTube, sorry about that again. It's a new software, and it was upgraded. The upgraded sucked. They told me to backdate it. They came out with a new version, updated, fixing the bugs, they said. So please download it, and then they didn't tell me. And so basically, hopefully, everything is now fine over on the YouTube stream, and that is the way it goes. You know, big story. The trade wars that are brewing, you know, and I guess I can't fault Trump for trying to improve the trade imbalances. I can't. I really don't see where I should fault Trump for that. We should have government that seeks to protect our interests. I do know that nation states do have protective measures in place. The Japanese have their protective measures. Trust me, the Chinese have them. I know about, you know, Trump rails about like the car imports. I've looked deeply into the car imports to China. And yes, I know how it works with the electric car subsidies. And if you don't make so much manufacturing there, the tariffs are such and this and that. There are a lot of barriers to entry to get into the Chinese market. The Germans, of course, I'm sure everybody has them. And America has been open game. And the reason why, I guess, is because, hey, again, we have a mercantile class that produces nothing controlling our trade policies, and that's our Jewish politicians and our Jewish mercantilists. They're traders. They are not manufacturers, folks. These people don't make anything. They don't really know how to make anything. They're not workers. Their fingernails are too precious for them to actually make something. You know, I think I heard that one Jewish fingernail is worth over 1,000 of us goys. So for them to break a fingernail, this would be a very, very expensive thing. So you can't expect Jews as a people to physically get out there and work. They make their money in nonprofits, what do you call that? Properties that, or projects that basically tell us what to think, you know, the nonprofits that tell us what we can do, what we can say. They're, you know, what do you call it? Opinion. What's the opinion? What's the word there? Opinion. Jews are largely opinion crafters. They want to craft public opinion, public law, that type of stuff, but they're not working. So for them, they want to, they control a lot of your retail trade. They control a lot of your retail distribution. And a lot of you may not know that, but they do. And so for them, if they can outsource everything offshore and just make it cheaper, they're going to be able to make more profits for longer here in America while Americans themselves suffer. Better for the mercantile class, quite frankly, to go ahead and buy something for 10 cents inside of China than buy it for 40 cents locally. And yeah, social engineers. Thank you. I was looking for that word. They're social engineers, basically. And of course, their engineering sucks. I mean, at the end of the day, man, Jewish engineers suck. They nothing they do is good. I heard the other day, in fact, that they tried to blow up a couple rockets coming in from Syria, errant rockets, and they couldn't catch up to them, and these were Soviet-era rockets. It was going into break, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Ally, prime time, July 26th. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Fetch Inside the Eye Live, hour number two, Action Inside the Eye Live, primetime, Thursday, July the 26th, 2018. And what's going to be happening, everybody, is this coming weekend is going to be actually the start of our 8th year of Inside the Eye Live. That's right. We started back in 2011, and it was a Saturday, of course. And then what happened was that very first show never got recorded. So if you were part of the history and you actually were there and you heard Inside the Eye Live 8 years ago, man, it would be kind of cool to have you call in to the show this coming Saturday and talk about that, because nobody else got to hear it, and it's not available. It was not recorded. There was a problem with the recorded Oracle broadcast, and it didn't get set up properly in time when I went live that Saturday. But every other show has been recorded and archived ever since that point in time, essentially. But that's an interesting sight, is that that very first show was actually not recorded. You had to actually be there to hear it, and that was 8 years ago this coming weekend, believe it or not. So Jan Lamprecht is going to be with us. I've asked him to get some information about the Declaration of Independence for the State of Good Hope, which is in, of course, the western part of the Cape, and he's been working hard on that. So we really hope to have a little bit more insight than has been available anywhere else on the situation going on in South Africa. As you know, Putin was there in South Africa, I think this week or the previous week. They've been there for the BRICS conference. China was there. Mainly this is for BRICS, of course, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa conference, something like that. So they were, there was an issue down there. They were down there, and there was Miss Xi Jinping or something like that. Xi Jinping, I think that's his name. But the premier of China, his first lady was there with teachers coming out to teach. I'm like, you guys, you know, at the same time, you got protests in Durban, and some of the major retailers were having their containers, shipping containers, looted by the African crowds there. We had a case just in fact today in Ceuta, which is a small enclave on the tip of Morocco that separates Spain, the isthmus of I don't know, the Gibraltar Straits, I guess it is. And that would be the isthmus, the Spanish isthmus, along with Morocco. There's this tiny little enclave, and it was actually invaded today by 600 Africans who scaled the wall. They had makeshift, makeshift flamethrowers. And so like 20 policemen were hurt. And I was, you know, every time I see these stories nowadays, I think of that great conservative Ben Shapiro, who says that, you know, what do you expect Jews to do, man? So, you know, he's supporting shooting these people as they cross over the wall. And, you know, I think back to World War II and how many men we lost on the beaches of Normandy, you know, to storm that beach. And now look how Europe allows their nations to be simply stormed. It's really a strange world we live in today, that essentially all those European men fought and died for diversity, for multiculturalism, for their nations to be run over by lesbian, gay, transgender degeneracy, for Jews to turn the nations into thriving cesspools of debauchery. It's quite an impressive thought when you think about it, that that's what was lost just within a generation or two. We were talking about going into the break. We were talking about something about the economy and how you can't fault Donald Trump. I don't know why I keep thinking George Bush. I'm getting old. Donald Trump fault. You can't fault Donald Trump for trying to improve the trade status, trade imbalances with the various trading partners that we have. We as a nation, we cannot fault him for that. But what he's been doing is, of course, he's been putting tariffs on. And in return, what's happening is that the countries that are countering Trump are making sure that they target tariffs in such a way that they hurt Trump's voting base the most. And of course, Trump is widely popular within the agricultural sector of the United States. So some of the key areas where Trump or the American economy is going to suffer in these upcoming trade wars, should they become full blown, it's going to be the agricultural sector. And that's already starting to show up now. One of those is wheat, and Mexico's grain millers are reportedly shifting their trade priorities to be less dependent on U.S. exports. And that is ahead of a possible retaliatory tariff by the Mexican government in response to the Trump administration's various trade moves. And this is, of course, a decision that could have a major effect on the U.S. domestic grain market. Now, Reuters is reporting that three major grain milling companies in Mexico, they have purchased the vast majority of their wheat and other grains from the United States, are now looking at Russian suppliers and other options in Latin America, for instance, Argentina. Mexican companies fear, quite rationally indeed, that U.S. grain prices could rise if their government responds to U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum with reciprocal tariffs targeting U.S. wheat and other grain exports. Now, Canamolt, that is a Mexican trade group that represents 80% of Mexican milling companies, and understand things like wheat, corn, a lot of these commodities, folks, they are aggregated or bundled into major trade associations. So if you're a farmer, you have zero chance, basically, of selling your wheat directly. You're going to have to sell that through one of these various co-ops. And I've worked a little bit with the Saudi grain people, not so much here in Jordan, but these are generally called strategic strategic purchases. These are national interest purchases. They want to make sure they can feed their people. So it's not like you can even go out and buy the wheat typically. These are done at government to government levels or through government sanctioned trading partners. And Canamolt is a group that represents 80% of the Mexican milling companies. And they said here that it's important to send signals to Mr. Trump. We can't continue to have this absolute dependence on the United States. And these are rational, from a business point of view, very rational things to be doing here. So one U.S. farmer based in Kansas told Reuters that grain prices had dropped 50 to 60% since the beginning of the year. And he said, it's frustrating. Mexico's a natural market for us. And that's farmer Ken Wood talking to Reuters. He said, break even might be the best hope for this year. U.S. wheat exports to Mexico have reportedly dropped 38% in value to $285 million since the beginning of the year, while global U.S. wheat exports have decreased by a total of 21%. That's a huge number, folks. The Trump administration has signaled that it will use Depression-era law to provide up to $12 billion in aid to farmers hurt by Trump's trade policies. And Trump and his officials have asked for patience, promising that trade negotiations will pay dividends. And Trump tweeted out this week, negotiations are going really, really well. Be cool. The end result will be worth it. Now, the interesting thing about trade, folks, is that commodities are a whole different story relative to manufactured goods. And Trump's trade policies are working to improve the state of manufactured goods. But those who are going to have to take the hit probably to get this change are going to be your commodities people, the farmers and other commodities, things like that. There was a very terrible event that happened just yesterday in Sueda. Yesterday it was for the most part, and the night before. Sueda sits just above Jordan in the southwestern part of the nation. It's on the, I don't know, it's basically after Sueda, you get open desert, and you end up in a place called Al-Tanf, which is where a U.S. military has a major base set up. Now, according to the Russian military, they have said that the United States now has set up 20 military bases inside of Syria. And what happened was yesterday, last night, starting in the evening, you had about 40 to 60 militants, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, came in under cover of night. Killed people in their sleep, essentially came into their houses, executed a lot of people. Nearly 250 people were killed. More than half of them have been civilians. The death toll, according to one source, 246 people were killed. The others, the onslaught began, it said here, with a triple suicide bombing in the city of Sueda. and that was followed by attacks with guns and explosives on villages in the north and the east. Now, the fourth blast hit the provisional capital later in the day. Local sources were telling The Guardian that Islamic State jihadists entered people's homes at dawn and slaughtered people silently. So they were able to kill a lot of people without word getting out so quickly. IS claimed the assault hours later. At least 45 jihadists died carrying it out. It was the worst bloodshed for this part of Syria throughout the entire war. And Syrian state media reported the attacks, but did not give specific details. Now, some very gruesome pictures came out. I mean, some of these terrorists were captured. They were summarily hung. There was no trial. There was nothing. The people of Sweda were just absolutely up in arms and livid over this cowardice. And so they just hung them immediately. Some very, very gruesome pictures came out of this yesterday. And the sad part of this, and this was also tweeted out to President Bush, is that what are your generals doing? Because it looks like the attackers came from the Al-Tanf region of Syria, which is controlled by the U.S. military. So where is and what are our generals, American generals, doing inside? And what would allow this type of thing with all of our intelligence gathering and all of our capabilities? Why are our generals allowing these types of things to happen equally? Things don't move out in the desert there without the American military knowing about it. Bottom line, folks, we have a huge presence there. And what had happened, and that's the cowardice that I despise about our military sometimes, the American military, is that they didn't attack when there was actually forces inside of Sweda. As you know, there's been a major offensive against the Israeli-backed Al-Qaeda groups in the Golan Heights and the Quneitra region of Syria. Now, the highest mountain in Quneitra, as well as the city of Quneitra, which is the the capital, the government, the capital for that province, that was captured today. And so now the Syrian flag flies over the city of Quneitra, which is a regional capital, provincial capital, I guess I should say, as well as the Taiz Mountain. And a lot of the people, the soldiers that were inside of Sweda that were there to protect the town had been pulled out to participate in this cleanup activity in the pocket that now borders Syria and the occupied Golan Heights. So the American military, it seems like they waited for the soldiers to be pulled, and then they go in to launch something as cowardice as this, literally as cowardice as this. It's like, you know, Trump, what are your generals doing there? Really, this is sick. What are you guys doing allowing this type of stuff to happen? How cowardly do you need to be over in Syria to allow something like this to happen? It is just so pathetic, quite frankly. So that today was a major parade because Islam, they bury their dead typically within 24 hours. So today there was just a very bad scene for the Syrians that have to deal with this type of terror. And when I think about Israel saying to the Western nations that if you don't protect the Jews, this is going to come to you. I'm thinking, you know what? This is what Israel has planned for America. This is what Israel has planned for Britain. This is what Israel has planned for France, for Germany, for Belgium. Israel plans this, folks. Israel is behind the clash of civilization. Israel and Israeli groups and Jewish groups have been behind the massive importation of men of military fighting age, 19, 22, 26, 30, Israel and Jewish groups have been behind this. So when you have a senior Jewish official tell the American people and everybody else that if you don't protect your Jews, then Islamic terror is going to come to your shores, we should take that as an open, subtle declaration of war by the Jewish people against our nations. Bottom line, folks, hold those responsible. If they're going to bring war to you, and I know I'm supposed to be extremist. But folks, if they're going to bring the war to you, You need to defend yourself. And you have every right to defend yourself. And that means taking out all of the corruption, all of the problems everywhere that you find it. So that's one issue. Another issue coming out of Syria is the white helmets. Now, the white helmets are, you hear a lot about the Russian little green men, you know, the silent green men. I don't know if you heard that term, but it was used a lot in the Crimean, when Crimea voted basically to return back to Russia. There was the story about the Russia's silent green men, and they've also got their silent green men working in Ukraine. And there were rumors that the Wagner mercenary group lost upwards of 200 men trying to take out a U.S. military base in Syria. And they got their, well, without having air power, they got their hats handed to them, with the Russians saying they couldn't admit to these people being here, so they didn't provide any cover. Big black eye. If it really happened the way it went down, it's a black eye for the Kremlin for sure. But the NATO groups, they have their own little green men, and they're called the White Helmets. That's right. You've heard a lot about these white helmets, and the Israeli military this week literally evacuated hundreds, about 422 of these white helmets. They are essentially embedded terrorists, Western intelligence officers, propaganda artists, literally some of them are active terrorists, and they were evacuated by the Israelis this week, shipped, transshipped to Jordan. And Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Safadi, said that 422 white helmet volunteers were evacuated. There was an initial 800 cleared for the operation, according to the AP. The evacuation was part of an international plan. Again, it's international. It's not international plan, folks. This is how it's being reported. It's a plan put together by NATO, Canada, the United States. Nobody else. It's NATO, Canada, and the United States. And the evacuation was part of this plan. In fact, it says here, apparently it was agreed upon by NATO leaders summit in Brussels last week, according to Chrystia Freeland, Canada's Minister of Foreign Affairs. And that was in a statement released this past Saturday. Volunteers and their families were evacuated to neighboring Jordan after they were, quote unquote, besieged in a dangerous area, according to Raed Al-Saleh, who's the director of the White Helmets, posted on Twitter Sunday. They are now being assisted by the UNHCR in Jordan, pending international resettlement. Britain's Foreign Office said in a statement on Sunday, referring to the UN agency, fantastic news that we, UK and friends, have secured evacuation of white helmets and their families. Thank you, Israel and Jordan, for acting so quickly on our request. The white hats are the bravest of the brave, and in a desperate situation, this is at least one ray of hope. The truth of the matter is, folks, they are not the bravest of the brave. These are the ultimate representative of what makes up a coward. People who hide their true intentions, that engage in subterfuge, that engage in destroying people's lives, that engage in false flags that cause even us Americans to engage in, again, more warfare, more bloodshed for nothing. These people are the ultimate cowards out there. They've always been embedded with Al-Qaeda. They are spat upon by the Syrian people. The Syrian people, there's ample evidence where they say that basically the white hats and Al-Qaeda were one and the same. Just one had a little added extra feature, and that is of being the propaganda arm for Al-Qaeda. And the real truth of the matter is that probably within this group were some embedded special operations type of people working with the Al-Qaeda groups. So this is a major story. The volunteers are expected to stay in Jordan for up to 3 months before being resettled. Now get this, in Britain, Germany, and Canada. And that is according to Jordanian Foreign Ministry spokesman Mohammed Al-Kayed. And he was speaking just this past Sunday. Now, from what I understand, Germany has already agreed to take some of these white hats in. So I'm not sure how that's going down. I heard some rumblings going on in Germany by Germany's interior minister about how can we allow this type of person into Germany. But nonetheless, that's something that we're hearing about, is that already there's plans to send them to Germany. And we believe Trudeau has already also decided to take some of these people on board. But that remains to be seen. Now, the rescue, again, was organized by who else but Israel, which is otherwise, that's not true. This story is so fake. This is fake news, guys. I'm reading the story from I don't know who, but it's fake news. It's completely fake. I mean, this is just such crap that it's hard to even, man. So, like, I'll give you this line. The rescue is organized by Israel, which has otherwise avoided direct intervention in the brutal civil war. The idiocy of these reporters. I mean, just today, Israel's blasted an Assyrian military position near Aleppo to help out with something. The Israelis have been helping al-Qaeda terrorists since the beginning of the war. So this is not like this is new here. For a reporter to report like this is just complete intellectually violent to us. They're lying straight to us. This is fake news, folks. Israel was, of course, behind a lot of what's going on with the white helmets. Words are not enough to express the discontent which the Syrians feel towards. This is coming out from Syria. Words are not enough to express the discontent which the Syrians feel towards these mean conspiracies and limitless support provided by the Western states, Israel and Jordan, to the white helmets and other terrorist organizations. That is a Syrian foreign ministry statement today. Meanwhile, the Russian embassy did check in, and in the Netherlands, they welcomed the departure of the notorious white helmets. Definitely, there will be less chances of new so-called chemical weapon attacks in Syria after forced evacuation by the collective West of the notorious white helmets, it wrote on Twitter. So the white helmets worked only in rebel areas, folks, and many of these rebel areas now have been freed, and the white helmets have been in constant retreat. In fact, there's been a lot of efforts by the United Nations, which tells you a little bit about the United Nations, to send the white helmets as being the first to be evacuated, like when Eastern Ghouta was being evacuated. They wanted to get the white helmets out first. So 76 of these guys were evacuated first up into Idlib. So essentially what's happening here is mainstream media outlets are not hiding the fact that the white helmets are the creation of a British soldier by the name of James Le Messurier, and that the group's funding comes primarily from the governments of the United States, France, and the United Kingdom, as well as other trusts and so-called NGOs with clear links to what we call nowadays the deep state of the aforementioned nations. The White Helmets' agenda is to assist the terror groups described by Western governments as moderate rebels. See, they're moderate, but they're all terror groups. Who cares? When one links this reality with the origin and funding of the White Helmets, it becomes clear beyond a reasonable doubt that the White Helmets are a de facto Western group. In wartime, one is classed by what uniform one wears rather than other considerations that come into play in civilian life, and the white helmet uniform is Western. So therefore, they can be seen to be wearing Western uniforms, and they are clearly a part of the broader Western alliance in Syria. So basically, the way you spin this story, in the West, and Russia in the East, and Syria, are spinning this in opposite directions, as you can imagine. The White House, I'm not sure about the White House, but the British are just all mushy about how wonderful these terrorists are. You know, the British, for the most part, they never met a underhanded terrorist operation like this that they didn't enjoy, it seems. They're very Talmudic at times, at least the military. And Russians, of course, are saying it's a war crime to even evacuate them. Other people are saying, look, they got to get evacuated because if they are actually captured by the Syrian government, there is going to be hell to pay, because there's going to be spilling the beans of just how much involvement the Western nations have been in trying to take down a foreign United Nations country. I mean, this is a war crime, folks. Bottom line, it's a war crime by the powers that are conducting this. It's a war crime, plain and simple. And everybody involved, I don't care if you're going to create a rule of law, everybody involved in trying to take down a foreign country like this should be held responsible. And I'll tell you what, you should gut the CIA. This is a very expensive venture. They've given away so much of our technology that's now fallen into the hands of Russia and even third world players, second world players like Syria. They've been able to back engineer things based on this stupid Bay of Pigs, basically a very expensive Bay of Pigs that's gone on for 7 years. But at the end of the day, you got to spin it in a very positive way with the White Helmets being evacuated. This is the very first formal official withdrawal of mercenary forces by the West from Syria. And the best way to spin this again is it's a recognition that essentially Syria. Well, we're going into a break, everybody. Back. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye live prime time for Thursday, the 26th of July, the eve of what's going to be a great little cosmic show tomorrow with the Blood Moon eclipse. And again, it's going to be in full vision here from something like 10:30 to 12:13 in the morning, something like that. It's going to be quite a show. And I can't wait, quite frankly. I'm going to go out and watch some of that for sure. I'm going to go up on my roof or do something. You know, tomorrow we got a party here. And again, first we want to say we apologize to the YouTube, the live stream. We've had a lot of problems with, I can't get the volume higher. That's the problem, folks. I really can't get the volume any higher. That's as high as Microsoft is allowing us to take it. And so I'm going to put in a trouble ticket to the software, the streaming software, tonight, tomorrow, and I'll backdate everything. And yeah, sounds great, but needs more volume. Damn that echo. Again, yeah, okay, guys. Again, I'm not sure why the echo is there. I do know that essentially Microsoft is playing again with some of the technology. In other words, we're supposed to be able to set certain technology inside of this software, and when we set it, it doesn't hold. Microsoft just sends it right back to where Microsoft wants it. So what's happening is it's picking up, I think, two different sources. So I'm going to go ahead and keep this going live. But I'm doing the right things, folks. I see where I'm setting it properly. But as soon as I set it properly, it goes right back to the Microsoft default. And so, again, I apologize for that. There's just nothing I can do. I will backdate the software so it's ready for Saturday. The company is aware of the problem. They've let me know that they're working on the fixes. They've got now some of the fixes I can see debugged, and I will send them a message after the show to say, hey, it's just not working right. Yeah, we just need to say Jews once and it'll echo Jews five times now. Maybe it'll save my breath. I can just say Jews and you guys hear Jews, 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 Jews. No, I hear what you mean. I know what it's doing, but I don't hear it. They've taken away that part at least. I don't hear it, but it's not good that you guys hear it. That's not a good thing. Better I hear it too. That way we can solve this stuff. Anyways, he talked about the Syrian issue. And, of course, Inside the Eye Live at Revolution.Radio is clear, everybody. I understand it's very clear on Revolution Radio. So I sure hope it's clear. Otherwise, we're just going to have to I assume it's clear, everybody. Anyways, frustrating when software just doesn't perform the way it's supposed to perform. Final story, a couple final stories here. You know, there was this coming out of Germany. They hold a tournament every year in Germany for refugee football, soccer. And it's basically designed to fight intolerance, to fight, to promote fair play, things like that. And so they had this story come out just yesterday. And the aim of the annual, here it is, the aim of the annual street football tournament in Germany's Wickau is to counteract discrimination and violence and to teach values of tolerance and fair play. Well, these are typically Western things. It's very hard to necessarily take this into a foreign type of world even though Jews like to promote it as such, it's generally not possible. I'm not saying it's entirely that way, but with certain cultures, it gets more difficult. So during the final game, they broke out into a massive fight. The final had to be canceled, ending in disarray. The seventh edition of the Red Tree and Marienthal United 08 organized United Colors Street Soccer Cup. Eyewitnesses reported that there was a heated controversy between the two final teams. One team apparently predominantly African, and the other consisted mostly of Arab-born players. One team wanted to use an additional player who had not previously participated. Fair play stuff, you know, stuff like that. And the other team opposed that, and during the game, a fight broke out as a result. Allegedly, it boiled down to an insult on the field when somebody said something about somebody's mother. I can't tell you folks how many times I've played sports, and I've played a lot of sports in my day, and I can't tell you how many times somebody's mother, sorry to you mothers, but how many times you mothers out there have been invoked on the field as a way to just rile people up. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Seriously. But there's never been a need to get into a fisticuffs over it, because we understand that's just part of the sport, and they like to get under our skins and our honor and all that crap. And we kind of we're not dishing our mothers, but we're certainly not going to go break down on a fight on a soccer field over something like that. Witnesses described this brawl as scary. Bernard Rydell, who's 68 from Oberplanitz, who now lives in Berlin's Neukölln migrant suburb, says. And again, he's German, but he lives in an urban cesspool called a migrant city in Germany. He said, I see a lot of controversy every day, but something like this on Saturday at Zwickau's main market, I have not seen in my life. I was worried about the life and lives of the players. So there you have it, folks. Never try to teach a dog new tricks, because generally it just doesn't work. It's funny how a lot of Jews out there, they really believe in this. Oh, culture. I remember a guy who was a trainer here in Jordan, even. And he was heavily involved in promoting cross-cultural diversity and things like that. And he cracked me up because he truly believed in it. He's a good guy. I haven't talked to him in about a couple of years now. Good friend still. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I consider him a good friend. And, you know, he was really into it. And then one day he was doing something, and something happened in Israel. And it was really pissing off the Jordanians. And Jordanians, they can't stand the Israelis. There is a standing treaty between the Jordanian government and the Israeli government. The Jordanian citizens, they recognize this. They understand it. But they don't like it. They understand the value of it. But they still can't stand the Israelis. They can't stand the state of Israel for good measure. I mean, half of Jordan has been basically shipped from Israel to Jordan. It's not quite that bad, but it feels that bad. But basically, where was my point here? Oh, yeah. And there was an issue. Something happened in Israel. And he said something to the Jewish student. And there was like six Judas students, six Muslim students, six Christian students in this training section, this training session. And it was about cross-cultural tolerance. And he said, Dennis, I couldn't believe it. He said, I said something about what happened in Israel. And the attitude, the anger, the vitriol that came from the Jewish students there at this particular training session, she said, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe how insidiously nasty they were. And I said, dude, I've been telling you that about the Israelis all along. And you keep talking to me about how, oh, you keep meeting all these nice Israeli people. I said, dude, you meet nice Israelis until you cross them. Until you say one little thing that triggers their little childish mentality, and they revert back to full-on idiot. And you haven't been doing that enough. I said, you just need to know how to trigger them to become full-on idiot, and then you're going to see what I'm talking about. I said, in this case, you triggered them to become full-on idiot. And that's normal for the Jewish people, dude. I said, wake up, man. Quit trying to think you're going to change the world because you're taking EU money to do all this cross-cultural training to bring people together. It's not going to work. You can't bring the Israelis to anything rational. You can't. unless you watch your words, you couch how you talk, and you basically treat them as if you're walking on eggs because they're just a bunch of nutcases. Bottom line, if you want to go in and have a store and some kid doesn't get the candy it wants and it's going to scream like a freaking rabid monkey for 6 hours because mom doesn't want it to have candy, that's Jewish culture. That's Jewish society. They're a bunch of crying whine. They're just a bunch of crying. They're just a bunch of whining crybabies, as I saw today, by the way. Couldn't believe it when I got reported to the Met police today. God, you know, I'm serious, man. I've become kind of fed up with dealing with these Jewish people on Twitter, even though I force myself to follow them because I want to see what, you know, if you're doing a show about Jewish issues, Jewish problems, Jewish culture, and how it is so damaging to us in the West, you have to constantly have your foot and your eyeballs in what they're doing and what they're saying. And some of what I've seen as of late is really starting to make me disgusted with these people. For instance, today there was a massive assaults in Gaza, bombing F-16s, which are our American. There's no reason. See, our weapons, guys, as Americans, and I wish someone would send me some links on the research even, because I haven't found it. But they come with what CCNRs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions on its use. For instance, you cannot use our F-16s, I believe, for anything other than defensive purposes. And when you sit there and you go bomb the central part of Gaza, there's absolutely no criteria under which we could justify that as quote-unquote self-defense. See, Jews want to define self-defense to suit their needs. Folks, this is purely an offensive operation to go kill some people. And then what happened today was there was a 17-year-old Palestinian kid, and he broke into somebody's home, a settler's home, on occupied territory, and he stabbed three people. Didn't kill them, but he stabbed three people. They, quote unquote, to use their term, neutralized the terrorist. It's so coy and cute the way Jews talk. On the other side, no Jews were killed. It was a, quote unquote, a knife attack. And then they're like talking to us like the Hasbar are saying, "This, look at this face. It looks so innocent, but this is the face of an evil killer." I'm like, are you freaking Jews freaking out of your mind, man? You just launched a bunch of bombing campaigns the same day your soldier shot up an 8-year-old kid in front of their family, killed the kid, by the way, today. And you're going to sit there and talk about this is the face of evil? I'm like, dude, you Hasbara are the ultimate face of evil because you will gloss over the massive criminalities of the Jewish state and the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. And you will vilify the most innocuous nonsense sometimes to try to get sympathy for yourselves. What a pack of losers. And then they say, well, you know what? If you had to live as we did, you know, you wouldn't talk the way you do. I'm like, well, first of all, dude, you're taking my money. Don't tell me to shut up, because they often tell you you should shut your mouth, basically. I say, first of all, you're taking American money, dude. Yeah, do you understand what it means to say you're taking American money? Do you understand in the state of Israel what it means when your nonprofits are shifting $30, $40 billion a year from the United States economy to go support your little cesspool of a country? Do you get what we're talking about here? Are you guys that tone deaf about what is really happening? Folks, you're taking our money, and then you're telling us what we can say and not say about you? Really? I don't understand these people. If you'd like to call in, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I'm assuming the echo is still there in the live stream. I apologize for that today. I should not have updated this software at all. That's kind of frustrating. But nonetheless, it's there. And what can I do? So we'll just have to work with it for the end of the show here. But guys, you know, working with these Israelis, the Hasbara is absolutely infuriating because you're not dealing with rational human beings. You're basically talking to brain dead, clueless morons who think unidirectionally. It's like you're talking to a wall, and the wall has no brain, obviously. And it just goes on and drones like a complete buffoon and idiot. And no matter what type of logic or reason you can give to these people, they are just too stupid to grasp. They don't have brains, folks. And we are spending billions upon billions upon billions of dollars to feed these guys and allow them to do what they do. They're getting paid to sit on Twitter all day so that they can insult the rest of the world based on U.S. money flowing to them? Why are we supporting this crap as Americans? Seriously. I'll tell you. Mike Pence is in the news. What did Mike Pence do? Mike Pence, AJC Global, American Jewish Congress Global, applauds Mike Pence, that's right, for speaking out against anti-Semitism in Europe. Read his full statement here. Wow. Remarks by Vice President Pence at Ministerial to Advance Religious Studies or something like that. Anyways, whatever, man. Dude, it's like, why do you need to pander to these people? ADL, New York, we all need to work to bridge the differences, they say, that divide us. All the work that ADL does gives me a reason for hope, and I'm thankful for your work across the country, but especially the work. But the bridging the differences, folks, applies to everybody except for European nations. See, because you're not going to you're not having the ADL bridge the differences between Jews and Palestinians. They don't care. In fact, this week, Israel declared, absolute matter of fact, that Israel is a de facto now Jewish state and a Jewish state only. Palestinians do not have the same rights. The Arabs that live in Palestine, they never really had the same rights, but still living in Israel was better than living in Palestine because the Jews have made living in Palestine absolutely impossible. So basically, all of this stuff coming from the Jewish community lately is about as absurd and offensive and disgusting as we can find. There was another interesting story, and I can't find it, so I'm paraphrasing this, but it came out of I believe California. There's two stories coming out of California. One of those is a very fascinating story about straws. And one California city, I'm not sure which city it is, but they're going to now make it a jail term for basically violating the city's straw ordinance. So you're not going to be allowed to use drinking straws in this particular city. In the meantime, you've got human feces lying all over. You've got drug syringes lying all over. You've got all kinds of filth lying all over. But the city's going to make it a crime, 6 months in jail for using a straw. Now, mind you, in California, you can rape children if the children are in the sex trade and they consent to everything, even though they're children. So you can rape them in California. That's okay. You can conduct then acts of pedophilia in California. It's all okay. They've already basically this Jewish run state, this leftist Marxist run state, they've kind of cleared that. What else is in California you can do? I don't know. In California, it's against the law to basically California now has made a law that you can steal something up to a value of $1,200 and it's not even a crime. It's not a crime. So basically, if you want to walk into a store and steal an iPhone, hey, it's less than $1,200, no problem. If it's a used iPhone, if it's something, a television, less than $1,200, you can actually do this in California. That's how stupid California has become and how insane California has become. But in spite of all of this insanity, don't you dare ever go around and use a straw in some cities inside of California, because you might actually have to wind up getting a jail sentence, and that's not a great thing just for using a straw, everybody. Again, the big story coming out of Spain, the massive assault on Spain today. 600 migrants. Unbelievable, the pictures coming out. You're talking about people that really look like animals. They look like animals. They behave like animals. They're filthy. It's unbelievable, folks, what is happening to the world today. And we don't have governments in place that can actually deal efficiently with these problems. Now, I did hear in Austria, they're going to cancel an experiment. They were going to be putting driver's licenses into, in other words, they weren't going to put them in the Austrian language. They're going to make them Turkish translated driver's license. I'm not sure who came up with that idea. It would be very interesting to see. But nonetheless, they dropped the idea. So Austria is fighting back. Germany is getting a little bit tougher on some of these people coming back into Germany. There was a wife of some ISIS fighter that was taken down today, which is all a good thing, quite frankly, because you cannot have obviously a bunch of these terrorists walking around your country. And I'm seeing here, radio site is clear, no echo. Thank you very much for that. Another thing coming here is it says Labour Party's MPs, member of parliament, who support Israeli government are in breach of Labour Party values because Israel government practices apartheid, racism, illegal occupation, war crimes, and breach of international law. Now, all of this is actually very, very true. Any Labour Party member doing this that's a terribly written thing. But basically, some people are saying that, look, supporting Israel now should get you kicked out of government. And that should be what's happened. That should be what happens to the Americans also. We have far too many people inside of America's government that are agents, dual agents of the state of Israel. I don't want to get too much into that today, but you guys kind of understand that. You know how that works. It's a lot of this old stuff. A lot of stuff is coming out of coming out lately. It's just all a bunch of old news. I don't know why that is, but a lot of old news is cycling on Twitter, and they pass it off as being new. It's very annoying. You go and read it and you say, oh, that's a neat thing. And then you find it's done in 2014. So difficult, difficult to trust Twitter all the time. White House ethics lawyer finally reaches his breaking point. I wonder if we had another Jew there. Imagine working, it says, as the top White House ethics lawyer, even overseeing the administration of the most above-board commander-in-chief would be an enormous job, presumably involving mountains of paperwork, floods of details, and hordes of personnel to keep track of. Now imagine working as the attorney responsible for policing ethics of Donald Trump. And he says, I'm quitting now because it's so much difficulty. You know, it's interesting. You know, the press, the fake news coming out about Trump has been amazingly negative. There was one report, like NBC, was like 94%. This is since the start of the year. 94% of the reporting on Donald Trump was negative. Only 6% was positive. And it seemed like it reached a crescendo this past week with Putin. And I don't know about Trump. Again, I've got my reservations about him for sure. But you got to like when he gets up there. Excuse me. It's late. It's 3 a.m, folks. But he gets up there on national TV on Veterans of Foreign Wars. He says, you are fake news. And he points to the media, says, all these people out there are fake news. Folks, the starting point for a lot of this battle is the hearts and minds of the people. And it's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. And so the one good thing for sure that Trump has done is he has highlighted the reality that the media, the Jewish media, is an enemy of the American people. This is a very key point, because as long as he continues to do that, it provides us with the avenues to continue to push. Because if we don't continue to have avenues, we will never be able to keep pushing for our particular way of presenting information. If it's only a Jewish-controlled media out there, folks, you're never going to win. It's going to be impossible to win, quite frankly. Okay, people are saying no echoes on the listening line again. Okay, thank you for that, guys. I'm kind of breaking up the show for that, but it's okay. Where was I? We were talking about the fake news part of it. Folks, you know, it's a long-term battle, to say the least. You know, they're saying that maybe come to the midterms, the Democrats are going to have a meltdown in the polls. Folks, we are at war. I mean, we do have this battle of extremists, and it's the lesbian, gay, transgender segment. It's the Hollywood media types, the groupies who follow the Hollywood media. It is the social justice warriors working within the academic system. It's within our own political class. It's within the media itself, of course. And something came out of, I believe, California, and it was an Arab woman. And she basically came out today, yesterday, and she said, you know what? All the white editors on the publications departments inside the university should resign because there's too much white people still working here. And I mean, these people, these white people that work inside of campuses, inside of universities, they're not pro-white. These guys are basically a bunch of idiots. They're social justice warrior monkeys. And but they will talk about anti-whiteness being a virtue, and how being white is a virtue signaling, you know, you can't come in and be pro-white and all this type of crap. And I'm thinking, you know what? They really don't get it. These guys don't get it. It's not like they're going to be spared at the end of the day. If you look at South Africa, what's going on in South Africa, folks, that is a blueprint. They are looking to steal what another race culture developed. They can never do it on their own, so they're just going to try to steal it. And there's no place for them to ever build it. Actually, they could try to build it within the framework of the United States, but these people don't know how to build. They don't know how to create anything. They don't know how to actually build something from scratch and make it prosper and grow. That's a uniquely Western thing. And I'll tell you what, I don't see how. Really? I think it's. Yeah, there it goes. Okay, I think that's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware, and Inside the LI primetime. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. See ya.